The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. And he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the sort of ancient principles that the church lives by is that the worship life of the church teaches us. In other words, how we worship, what's in the liturgy, what the church says, how it prays in the liturgy, actually informs the Christian life. I start there because Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension, is something that I feel like unfortunately gets kind of lost in the shuffle of the whole Christian calendar. And it's not really helped by the fact that the Ascension happens 40 days after Easter, which is actually on a Thursday. So in the Universal Church, Ascension Thursday was celebrated a couple days ago, but in many dioceses, I guess because we don't like going to church more than once a week, and many dioceses, including ours, it's shifted to Sunday. And one of the unfortunate side effects of that is that it kind of just gets glossed over as sort of another Sunday in Easter. But if we let the liturgy teach us, there's a few things I would like to point out to you. First, you know, when priests say their breviary in the morning, the day always begins with what we call an invitatory psalm. And the antiphon for that invitatory psalm is the same from Easter Sunday until Ascension, and it changes at Ascension. From Ascension forward, we pray a different invitatory psalm. Also, if you listen carefully in the Roman Canon Eucharistic Prayer 1 that I'll say in a few moments here up at the altar, there are 5 days out of the year where we take out part of the normal prayer and assert a special prayer in there. It's the part of the Eucharistic prayer called the Hanc Igitur. There's 5 days a year where we do that, and that's at Christmas, at Epiphany, at Easter, today, the Ascension, and then Pentecost. Right. So if we look at these things, we say the church actually seems to think that the Ascension is something really special. It's not just another Sunday. It's not just another part of another day in the Easter season. There's actually something really essential and really significant about the Ascension. And it's actually also in the prayer that we, or the creed that we state when we all stand up together and state what we believe, that Jesus ascended to heaven where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So with the Ascension being so significant, we want to ask why. What is it? What is it that happens when Jesus ascends into heaven? What's the theological significance of this, and maybe what does it mean for my life? First of all, I'd like to point something out that I think I need reminding of sometimes, is that nobody is an afterthought in the gospel. Right? None of us are just sort of included in the work that Jesus did, that everything that the Lord accomplished was accomplished specifically for you. Right? That if you were the only lost sheep, he would have come and found you. If you were the only sinner, he would have come and died for you. Right? That he had you in mind and on his heart when he was on the cross. That everything that the Lord accomplishes, he accomplishes for you specifically. Certainly for the whole church, but nobody is just an afterthought. Nobody is just sort of included. He ascends into heaven, and this has to have some significance specifically for you, for your life. We also need to keep in mind what heaven really means. And, you know, it's not something that any human eye has ever seen. So we don't exactly know how to imagine heaven. And so we rely on images which are helpful to us, but if we rely too heavily on them, it can also be a hindrance. So I would say that if we think about heaven as a place where we sort of get to celebrate and rejoice, unfortunately, I think we've even gotten to the point where we think of heaven as the place where we get everything we ever wanted. And so we even bring in our earthly ideas of happiness into heaven, right? That we get big houses in heaven or something, or it's just the place where everything that I had to deprive myself while trying to earn heaven here on earth, I get to have up there. But in a deeper sense, we want to realize that when the scriptures talk about heaven, when a Christian talks about heaven, we don't really mean a place. It's not really a place that you can go. It's not a space of sort of reward that's prepared for those who are good. That when the Christian talks about heaven, we actually are talking about dwelling in the presence of the eternal God. And when we think about heaven that way, we see that there's something incredibly novel. And by not, I mean new. There's something incredibly new that happens at the ascension. Because if heaven is sort of the unmediated presence of God the Father, then until the ascension, heaven is something that remains completely other, completely, infinitely separate from us and inaccessible to us. Right? God creates us, and in so doing, he sends us forth. But then creation is never really a part of the Creator. And the Creator is not part of creation, right? That in a sense, that God has this inner life within himself from all eternity, the creation is not really able to enter into. And God interacts with his creation, but the inner life of the Trinity is closed off to us, because how on earth would we get there? And the heaven is not a place that's you know, far away. If we were to travel to the furthest reaches of the universe, we would not be any closer to heaven than we are standing here right now. Actually, because we're about to celebrate the Eucharist, I'd say we're closer right now to heaven than we would be at the furthest reaches of the universe. Jesus enters into heaven with his whole human nature united to his divine nature, which is to say that he takes us with him. And this is something really new. Right? Because the God who's sort of completely other, who's in his eternity of communion of the persons of the Trinity, there's the infinite chasm between us, and Jesus enters into heaven. He enters into the eternity of love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he takes us with him. So in some sense, we see the ascension not just as, I guess if you're looking at the Christian, the gospel, as from an outsider's perspective, not the perspective of faith, you'd say it's a nice, neat ending to the story. You know, Jesus comes and he does some things and he rises from the dead, and then he leaves and now he's gone. But in actual fact, we would see this as the fulfillment of his mission, right? Mission means to be sent out. And the Son, Jesus Christ, is sent out by the Father, right? But the scriptures also tell us, you know, God speaking says, I send my word out and it does not return back to me without fulfilling the end for which I sent it. And the ascension is Jesus fulfilling the mission for which he was sent, right? In the incarnation, God enters into his creation to save it. He enters into like a radically new level of relationship with us by becoming one of us. And then Jesus preaches, you know, having become one of us, he preaches the kingdom of God to us. And then he dies, he undergoes suffering and death, dies on the cross to conquer our sins. And he rises from the dead to conquer death. And then having been sent forth from the Father and now uniting the whole church to himself, a redeemed church, a church saved from sin, a church delivered from death, he now returns with all of us united to him as his mystical body. He returns to the Father, thus accomplishing what he was sent forth to do. So he goes out and he enters into his creation, and now he brings his creation back with him into the Father. Brothers and sisters, when we celebrate the ascension, we're seeing that it's not... What Jesus accomplishes is not merely a restoration of what's been lost. It's not merely a fixing of what's been broken. Right? Jesus doesn't just let us back into the Garden of Eden. Something really new happens, right? Which is that we are able to enter into the inner life of our own of our Creator, right? That when Jesus ascends to the Father, he doesn't really leave us, but he enters into that space where there's no limitation. He's not bound by all the things that bind and limit creation, but he enters into the eternity of the Father, and he enters into this reality that's totally love, and he takes us with him. St. Augustine tells us that while Jesus is with the Father, he's still here with us. Right? He's with us, first of all, in prayer. He's with us most specifically in the sacraments. He's with us in the church as the mystical body of Christ, as a sort of a sacred institution. He's with us in the Holy Spirit, which he sends to us next week. But as St. Augustine says, that also, while Jesus is in heaven, he's present with us. It means even while we're here on earth, we are also present to the Father in heaven. And this is really, really beautiful, and this is really, really good news. That somehow, even now, right, that not only is the way open to being with the Father for eternity, but that somehow, even now, the reality of being able to be with the Father is open to us. And so ultimately, what the ascension means to us, brothers and sisters, is that anywhere that Jesus is present, anywhere the Christian life is lived, anywhere that we sort of enter into the sacramental life of the church, anywhere where Jesus is known, loved, and served, heaven is breaking into our world.